In response to what you said, in 1995, is that when I was arrested? And taken like a common criminal to the Russian compound. And my son was arrested with me, Yirmi, my youngest. And there we are sitting in the Russian compound. And, you know, I only know old movies. And in old movies, it says you get one phone call. So I wanted to know how I can get my one phone call. So my son tells me, don't worry, but as they were schlepping us in to the Russian compound, a friend of his, Akiva Pollock, handed him a cell phone. So I had a phone. And then I said, now I know why it's called a cell phone. So I was better than... that was 20 years ago.
Are you writing for him?
Huh? I'm not writing for anybody. I write for me. I write for me. You better start saving up your money because my book is coming out soon. Maybe for students, we'll give them all 50 agurot, I don't know. The only comment that I have to say about the, I have two comments to make about the Pope's visit here yesterday and Sunday. I had to say a shir last evening at 6 o'clock at Yeshivat Netiv Aryeh in the old city. And I don't know, for some strange reason, I decided to leave reasonably early. I didn't take my car. I took a cab, and I got there about a quarter to the old city. I got there about a quarter after five. Can't get in. Locked. And here, I follow my wife's instructions. I came carrying my tripod and my camera, because whatever I say has to be eternalized so that it should be available to people for all time. And I have to schlep with all of this from Akhmat Rehov Yafo all the way to Netiv Aryeh, the end of the old city. It was a very difficult walk for me. You know, I'm not as young as I used to be. I had a birthday on Shabbos, you understand? So we're a year older. We're pretty chosh in the year anyway. Not 80, but very, very close. Hogel Hashem Ki Tov to Lilam Chasid. And then he started, because of the Pope, I got a exercise that I haven't done in many years, but I made it safely and soundly there, and I made it home, Gesundheit. But that's not the point, but there was one thing that immediately occurred to me when I saw it. I was amazed that he was going to place a wreath by the grave of Theodore Herzl like that. That blew my mind away, because I think I told you a few months ago, I just happened to have it here. Here it is. And I believe they reported this, but I don't know if they reported it in detail on the radio. There was a lot of stuff. And the cab driver going there and coming back, I got more information. The real inside information I got from the cab drivers last night. They know what's going on in this town. Anyway, in 1904, 6 months before his death, Herzl had an audience with the Pope. In utter violation of the strict rules of protocol and the instructions he had received from Count Lippe, who had arranged the meeting, Herzl did not kneel and did not kiss the Pope's outstretched hand. He had been told in advance that this is protocol. The Pope comes into the room, bow, he stretches out his hand, you kiss his hand. Herzl refused to do any one of the of the Torah. And he writes in his diary, he wrote, "I believe that I incurred his displeasure by this." That's pretty mild. I believe that I incurred his displeasure by this, for everyone who visits him kneels down and at least kisses his hand. Herzl was fully aware of the historic and unprecedented nature of this meeting. Most probably in 1900 years, the first person who sort of seemed by the world, and by the world, he did represent the Jewish people. First time you have a Jew who represents Jewish people who's meeting with the Pope. And he is insolent at this confrontation between the authentic Israel and those who claimed to have supplanted it. The Pope expressed staunch opposition to the Zionist enterprise. He said, "The Jews have not recognized our Lord, therefore we cannot recognize the Jewish people." Hence, Herzl writes, "The conflict between Rome, represented by him, and Jerusalem, represented by me, was once again opened up." End of quote. The fact is that the Pope said a number of other things, so the taxi drivers of Jerusalem tell me that he said that they will do whatever is in their power so that Jews should not return to Palestine because it's not theirs. So therefore you can understand, as R. Soloveitchik writes in one of his great essays, Kol Dor Ditofei, that the establishment of the State of Israel was a body blow to Catholic theology, because Jews who had rejected their God were condemned to be wanderers for all of history. They had lost their rights to Eretz Yisrael, and here it is, they come back. And then, of course, the greater blow to the church was, because after the establishment of the State of Israel, they said, you know what? They learned pshat. They learned pshat in what it was that they had believed for 1900 years. What did they learn pshat? That, what we really meant is that Jerusalem is not theirs. But then what happened 19 years later on Chof Ches Iyar, when Yerushalayim became the property of the Jewish people? That was the worst blow to the Catholic Church. That was it. It doesn't upset me at all. I'm enjoying every moment of it. And as far as I'm concerned, I think the whole visit, I didn't really follow it. I had more important things to do. But the fact that a Catholic Pope comes here and is surrounded by Israeli soldiers and Israeli policemen and, Israeli leaders, Jews, you understand? That's a pretty big step forward, boy. Oh, is this a blow? So that there was a tremendous amount of symbolism in the fact that the Pope lays a wreath at the grave of Herzl, who had defied the Pope himself back in 1904. By the way, one other fascinating quote that I like, and I like this most because there are those who claim that Herzl wanted to get all the Jews to be baptized, and that way he would resolve the Jewish problem. There'd be no Jews, no problem. I mean, this is so rampant in the extreme religious world that he wanted to smug up. And said all the signs that you see in the streets now, anyway, in our neighborhoods, I don't know if your neighborhoods may be cleaner, but mine is all dirty with Shasa Shmad, Gezeda Sashmad, and all the rest of that stuff. But the fact is, when he first became interested in the Jewish problem, some 20 years before 1904, he did write in his diary, and it was sort of, he wrote everything in his diary. There was a fleeting thought that, how are we going to resolve the problem of the Jewish people, but maybe we should bring an end to the Jewish people. And it was just a thought that was, you know, a to-do list, and then you start crossing it out. He never meant it seriously. Just like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? So therefore, on Hayom Hazeh, Herzl, Gewalt upschnatten die. So there are two other things that are interesting. Number one, it says that in 1896, that's 8 years before he meets with the Pope, he was, somebody arranged a meeting with him with the papal representative, the representative of the Pope in Vienna, the nuncio. And he wrote in his diary that day when he went to see the representative of the Pope in Vienna, Agliardi, the nuncio, that was his name, Agliardi, sent me word yesterday through our colleague Munz that he would receive me today at 10 a.m. sharp. At 10, I entered the nuncio's quarters on the Omhof Square, looking around furtively. He says that as he went in, he looked around to see if anybody is watching him, like a man entering a house of ill repute. I must record this feeling here because it was the most noteworthy one. Anyone who saw me enter there could easily have misunderstood my errand. He walked in there, so he's going in to a house of degradation and tumor. Which of course brings to mind, and this is something I may have told you some while ago, after the Second World War, Rav Herzog made one of the great journeys to Europe to attempt to save Jewish children, and he had an audience with the Pope, and his basic request from the Pope was that the Pope should notify all of the monasteries and nunneries in Europe that if they have Jewish children, they should give them back, send them out. The Pope refused.
Boy.
In that connection, just remember, Rav Lazer Silver from Cincinnati also went to Europe at the time, and he came into a monastery, and it was the dining room, and many children were sitting and eating there. And all of a sudden, he stood in the middle of the dining room, and he said, Shema Yisrael! From all sides, children started responding. He knew instantly which one were the Jewish children. But anyway, here, Rav Herzog, coming out from the Pope, said his people who accompanied him are waiting for him out there, and he comes out. He was white like a sheet. The man looked deathly ill, and he said to them, you should know, I just came face to face with absolute evil. That was Pope Pius XII. Take me to a mikveh now. And they took him to the mikveh. Those are Herzog. Rav Herzog. Okay? Rav Herzog. Pope Pius XII was indeed the evil. I'm going to give you one more. Okay. One other quote over here, something that Herzl had said. We've gone from Herzog to Herzl. Keep your Herzls and your Herzogs straight. This is Theodor Herzl, Binyamin Zev Herzl. He wrote, Herzl repeatedly expressed his disgust with self-hating Jews. Avneyah ve'es nishana. I'll keep asking for people to turn off their cell phone. Nobody listens to me. Anyway, listen to this. Herzl repeatedly expressed his disgust with self-hating Jews, those who cut off contact with their people. At the beginning of his diary, he wrote, this was a diary that he kept over many years, at the beginning of his diary, he wrote, quote, "Let the cowardly, assimilated, baptized Jews remain in exile. We shall benefit even them. They will boast of their kinship with us." Now, those converted Jews are going to say, "No, those heathen in Eretz Yisrael, that startup nation, or the upstart people, I call them, we're related. And they will boast of their kinship with us, of which they are now ashamed. We faithful Jews, however, will once again become great." Did you hear what a man wrote in approximately 1895? He wrote, "We faithful Jews," includes himself, "We faithful Jews, however, will once again become great." The man's vision was unbelievable. Unbelievable! And in some significant circles of our people, he has a nickname. And I don't mean it, of course. Yimach Shemai. So the Eibush Therapy. Man was... He set in motion God's plan. It's unbelievable. I think that's not there. Somehow or other, it'll have something to do with the Shia. The Shia today, in fact, is part two of last week. I can sum up last week. Did you turn it off?
Yeah.
It's off. You're sure it's off? Okay.
I'm
not looking at anybody else who didn't turn off their cell phones. Can do it right now. And if it makes any noise going off, I'll be welcome. Yeah, 10 seconds of which two.
Excuse me. I want to make mention, I don't know how important it is, that the Pope kissed the hands of the victims of the Holocaust.
All right, listen, don't tell me about it. I have nothing against the Pope. For that matter, I'm very happy about the fact that he comes here to a sovereign Jewish state, and Jewish soldiers and Jewish police are there taking care of him. It was never like that in all history. Oh, boy.
It was symbolic.
Huh?
The
blue
L.O. What? The blue L.O. with the L.O. of life that took him back.
Well, that has nothing to do with anything. He wants to fly safely. And L.O. is the closest thing to being home. I wouldn't fly anything but L.O. Yes?
A Pope joke. Someone sent me on the internet a picture of, the Kalim from the Beis HaMikdash being taken away. And it says, "Welcome to the Pope. This time, don't take any of our silver."
Go ahead, Chris.
Gold.
10 seconds you have.
Right. If it's good enough for Rob Gold to fly out, it's good enough for the Pope.
Absolutely. I'm with you. All right. Let's go. The sum total of the whole Shia last week was a difference of opinion between Avshalom Shmuel Hirsch and Rav Kook. An extremely significant difference of opinion. According to Avshalom Shmuel Hirsch, we became a people and our essence as a nation is completely the result of Torah. Without Torah, we're nothing. According to Rav Kook, and he certainly gets it from much earlier from Rav Yehuda HaLevi in the Kuzari, that no. There is a sanctity and a holiness to the Jewish people. And it's once there was a Jewish people that God had somebody to give Torah to. It's not that Torah made the Jewish people, but the Jewish people made it possible for God to give Torah to them. In other words, according to Samson von Hirsch, the Jewish people became a people at Sinai. According to Rav Kook, they became a people as they marched out of Mitzrayim. That's when they became a people. And then as a people, Vayichan Shom Yisrael Neged Ha'har, it says they came in the third month, the month of Sivan, Rosh Chodesh, they arrived at the mountain, Ki'ish Echad, Belev Echad. This is a people, a holy people, a holiness that comes from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We're not talking about a people who are zeros, and God gives them Torah, and that turns them into a people. There's no question about it, that giving Torah to the Jewish people, or that not a Jews wanting the Torah and receiving it, raised the level of the Jewish people to something absolute, eternal. But no. It means like this. Question, how do we look at a Jew who doesn't have Torah? He's nothing? No, he's not nothing. He's holy. He has the innate, inborn holiness that comes with being a Jew. Now it says here, let's go up to number one over there. This was last week's second sheet. It said, the top line is Vayi Hayom. It happened one day, Vayavar Elisha El Shunem. It's a story of Elisha and the Shunammite woman. The day came that Elisha passed by through Shunem. The Shom Isha Gedola was a great woman there, Vatechaz Akvo. She held on to him. She importuned him. In other words, she asked of him, please stop by here. Rest. Take it easy. That he should eat lechem. And it came to pass as he went, he would go through that part of the country and he passed Shunem. He would turn there and go to eat a meal over there. We know exactly where Shunem is. We even know where the house of the Shunammite woman is. It is right nearly within the city limits of Afula in Emet Yisrael. And you can go visit the Shunammite, the home of the Shunammite woman. They say that it's a segula for having children. My son and family who live in Afula rejuvenated the idea of going to the Shunammite woman. And there it's in the middle of a little Arab village, smack in the middle of the village. There's a sign, the remnants of the house of the Shunammite woman. Now watch. Vatora Elisha, she said to her husband, in name of Yadati, Kiyisha, the King of Kodeshu, I know that this man who passes by our house is a holy man, Ovir Olein Tomit. And therefore, let's make for him a little room, Aliyah Kel, and let's make a small walled attic. Vinosim Oshom will put over there a bed, and a table, and a chair, and a lamp. So, when he comes to us, Yoshua Shoma, he has his own private room where he can rest, where he can meditate, where he can eat. Vayihi Hayom. This is the second time it says, and it wasn't the day. Vayom Shoma, he came there. Vayosel El Aliyah, he went up to his attic. Vayishkav Shoma, he lay down there. And then he said to Gehazi Naro, his servant Gehazi, Kroach Namet Hazot, call this Shunammite woman to come here. Vayitro Lo, Gehazi called her, Vatamol Foran, and she stood before Elisha. Vayom Elo, Elisha said to him, to his servant Gehazi, Emorno Aleha, say to her, Hinei Charadet Eleinu et Kol HaCharadah Hazot, you have done for us so much. Mala sotla. What can I do for you in return? Can I speak to the king on your behalf? Or el sarat tzava, or to the committee? You need a favor from anybody. I'll do it for you, gladly. But Toma, the unbelievably enigmatic and powerful response, she tells the Navi Elisha, for all intents and purposes, no thank you, betoch ami onochi yoshev. I live amongst my people. What does she mean? What is she? And because she lives amongst her people, she doesn't need some favor from the king or the commander or some. What does she mean? So the Zohar says, Vayi Yom, when it said it was the day, you know what day it was? It was the day of Rosh Hashanah. It was the Yom Adin, the day of judgment. And when Elisha said to her, can I speak to the king on your behalf? He meant, can I speak to the king of all kings, who is now sitting and judging the Jewish people? And she said, no. B'toch ami onochi yoshavet. I don't want to be judged separately. I want to stand before God on Rosh Hashanah as part of an entire Jewish people. Very powerful Zohar. I'll make it even, if I can, even more powerful. They say about Rav Elchanan Wasserman, Hashem Yikom Damo, the great Rav Shiva Bachanovich, most probably the student closest to the Chofetz Chaim, who was killed in the Nazis killed him. So he said one year in Yeshiva, before Rosh Hashanah, he walked over to the Gavai and said, don't give me an Aliyah. So of course the Gavai is a good Yeshiva Bacher, has to respond to his Rebbe and say, Rebbe, the Mishnah Brura says that everybody should try and have an Aliyah on Rosh Hashanah. To which Rav Elchanan responded, and Rosh Hashanah, I don't want them to hear in heaven my name called out, Yahod Rav Elchanan ben Naftali Benish. I want to be nameless on Rosh Hashanah. I want to be part of Klal Yisrael. I don't want to be singled out. You understand? Because there's a kedusha to Klal Yisrael. And the only way for one to really stand up before God on a Rosh Hashanah and hope to emerge with a good verdict is only if you stand together with the rest of the Jewish people. If you stand separately, no good, no good. Because there's sanctity to the Jewish people. Famous mission in Turkey, Yavuz, what do we need? We need more than Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, Chaviv Adam number two, Chaviv Adam Shinivir B'Tselem, man is beloved because man was created in the image of God. Chiva, you say they're not that low. Even greater love, the fact that God told man that he's created in the image of God. He wanted man to know this, because he loves him. Shenema, b'tzelo Elokim asat Adam. God made man in the image of God. Chaviv Yisrael. Israel is beloved. Shenikru bonim lamokom. They are called sons of God. No, not to be understood in any other way, you know. All right, okay, let's explain. It's only that since it's after the Pope's visit, you know, you can get confused when you hear about the Son of God. We're talking about Mamish Bonim. We are Bonim Lashem. Watch. Chiba Yoteda, Notad Lahem, Shenikru Bonim Lahokam. God showed his great love for the Jewish people by telling them that he considers them like children. Shenema, Pasigin Dvarim. Bonim atem, Hashem, you are sons to God, your God. Chaviv in Yisrael, Yisrael, I beloved, Shenita lahem klei chemda, they were given the implements that are so desirable, they were given Torah. Do you know what's happening over here? They are loved first because they are considered banim lamakom, God's children, even before they received Torah. They haven't received Torah yet. You're mishpucha, you're my children. You know what else it means? That's a relationship that can never be severed. That's an eternal relationship. A child remains a child. Of course, Rav Kook would say that if this child actively goes out to cause harm to the Mishpucha, then he relinquishes the right to be a son. But if he hasn't done that, eternally remains a son. And then the added sanctity of the Jewish people, Shenitar lem chlechemda, that they were given the most desirable implements of all, Shabon Nivra Olam, that through which the world was created. Shenema, Tilekach Tov Natati Lachem Torati Al Tazovu, I've given you a great gift, do not forsake my Torah. So that Shavuos is the great giant step after there is a holy Jewish people. As Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi said, we learned it last week, there had to be an address to whom to give Torah to. And that address was the Jewish people. They came out of Mitzrayim. They were a great Gadol, a great nation. Number four, this is a Rambam. Whenever I learn this Rambam, it's one of these things that get me very emotional. By the way, you know, I used to be a tough guy, but the more I grow up, I'm not getting older, I'm growing up, the more I grow up, the more emotional I become. And this is a Rambam that strikes me as just in the right place. Ketzad mekablin gede tzedek. The Rambam asks, how do we receive into the Jewish community the real, honest convert? Kesheyavo leitgayer, when he comes before Bedin in order to convert, v'yivdeku acharav, and they will investigate him, v'lo yimtzu ilo, and they will not find any kind of ulterior motive. It's not because he wants to marry a Jewish girl or she wants to marry a Jewish boy. No, it's genuine. You really, you know, there are some people that love Jews. There's such a thing. And we have in our generation wonderful, wonderful data, wonderful people. When they find that he is sincere, Onim lo, you know what the peasant says to him? Umara ita shebata l'gayu. Mishir, mister, why did you come to convert, you know? Like at times I would sarcastically ask, like, you came to Aliyah? Oh, yes, did you come to Aliyah? What were you lacking in America? The great, the home of the free, the land of the free, the home of the brave. What did you come on Aliyah for? So they asked him, why do you want to convert? By the way, of course we wouldn't ask that anymore of anybody from France or from Belgium, never, or from the Ukraine or who knows how many other places in the world. Hagul Hashem ki tov, that there is a land where any Jew in the world can come to when he finds himself in terrible straits. You have to thank the Elohim every day for that. Every day. And they know it even better than we know it. That at a moment's notice, what kind of plane are they going to go on? An LL flight they're going to take in order to get there. An LL flight. That's all they're going to have to do. They're not going to be out of it. We came by cab this morning, and the cab driver's family came from Kurdistan in the 20s. It took them 3 years to walk here. 3 years to work here. Now compare that with a place, maybe a 3 hour flight from Kurdistan. The whole family walked. What? The serious natural spirits as well. So they asked the prospective convert, why do you want to convert? Don't you know? The Jewish people at this time are devoyim, dechufin, umesuchafin, umeturafin. Four words. You don't have to know the meaning, you can get it. They are attacked, they are abused, they are trampled upon, whatever you want to translate it. Meshuggah, what, you're crazy? Why do you want to become part of these people? What happened to you? The Yisurin Boyan Aleim, and suffering comes upon them. Omar, if a prospective convert says, Ani Yodea, I know that Jews suffer, Ve'eni Kedai, and I'm really unworthy to be part of that people. Mekablin Oto Miyad. You accept him immediately. Now, but wait a minute. In the next halacha, the Rambam says, then the Bezdin has the responsibility to let them know the main articles of the faith, which are Yichud Hashem, that we believe in one God, the Isra of the Zorah, the prohibition against idolatry, Umarichim B'Tovazeh. This is something that we talk about at great length, because we have to make sure that they know what they are walking into. Umodin also mitzas mitzvahs kalas, umitzas mitzvahs kaluris. You tell them a few easy mitzvahs, and you tell them a few more difficult mitzvahs. You don't have to teach them kol haTorah kula. About the mitzvahs, you don't have to speak at great length. You don't have to let them know that you can only eat mahadrin and mahadrin. Don't touch rahamut. Wherever you go, if you plan on eating rahamut, we're not going to accept it. No. You don't have to do any of that. A number of more serious mitzvahs. But look, umodin also avon leket shik who pay of meiserani. Umodin also unshon shom mitzvahs. The first halacha, they tell him, don't you know the Jews are suffer? Why do you want to become part of this people? What happens if this prospective convert is going to say, wait a minute, I don't want to become part of the Jewish people. I can't stand the sight of a Jew. But I want to fulfill the commandments. I want to continue living in whatever shluggah place I live. I don't know. And you know what? Wherever I live, I don't know. In Italy, in France, in Germany, in Kansas, in Arkansas, I'm going to live over there. I'm going to have God kosher food sent in to me from New York. I'm going to dine with a gartel. I'm going to do all the mitzvahs. I don't have anything to do with the Jewish people. Give me a break. I can't stand the sight of a Jew. They're not going to accept him. Why does he have to know about Jewish history? Why is that the first question they ask him? You know why? Because before we can even talk to him about mitzvahs, he has to become part of the Am. And the Am's past is his past, becomes his past. The present of that nation is his present. As the Rambam answered to, there was a Ger in the time of the Rambam, Uvadiy Ger Tzedek, who asked the Rambam, can I say Shmon Esrei Elokeinu VeElokei Avoteinu? Our God, the God of our fathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the Rambam says absolutely. You know why? Because the first thing that the Ger does is he accepts upon himself to be a full partner in Jewish history. He becomes part of the Am. And therefore he can say that he is from the progeny of Avraham Avinu and Yaakov. It's only in the second halacha that we talk about Torah. You know how I see these two halachas in the Rambam? The first halacha in the Rambam is the Mitzrayim experience. The fate of the Jewish people is my fate. The second halacha in the Rambam is Shavuos. The destiny of the Jewish people is my destiny. The Rambam clearly holds that there is an innate sanctity that comes from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and the only way that the convert can become part of that is by virtue of the fact that he accepts to be part of that nation. Therefore, if he wants to stay there in Kansas or in Arkansas and fulfill all the mitzvahs with all the chumras, you understand, that then garnished health, it will help him nothing. Because you have to become part of the Jewish people. Because this is sanctity to the Jewish people. I skipped number three, and nobody stopped me. All right, let me still say number three. Number three. All we have over here, number three, we have the davening, the Shabbos davening in the morning, Shabbos. Shochin ad morom v'kadosh shemo. The chos of Ramu, tzadikim Hashem, let the tzadikim sing like a shorim nova tehillah. The fi yishorim tisroam, in the mouth of the righteous you will be raised. Ubisif tzeitat tzadikim and the lips of the pious tidparek will be blessed. Ubisham chasidim, and with the tongue of the chasidim you will be sanctified. Ubikerev kedoshim, and amongst the holy ones tidhalal will be praised. Who have we talked about up until now? The tzadikim, the yeshachim, the kedoshim, the chasidim. But you know what comes after that? Ubimakalot rivvot amcha beit Yisrael. Do you know what the greatest praise of God is? The masses of Jews. Amcha. Not the tzadikim, not the yeshachim, not the chasidim, not the kedoshim, but the greatest praise to all is a Jewish people. Amcha. U'makalot, difficult, and in the gathering of tens of thousands of Amcha, your people, Beit Yisrael, Berina, Yitpoer Shimcha, in song, your name will be exalted, Malkeinu, our King, Bechol Dor V'Dor, in every generation. There's a sanctity that comes merely by being part of the Jewish people. Now, I want to do number six before I do number five. Number six is a quote from a sefer called Tana Devei Eliyahu. Things that Eliyahu HaNavi told to one of the Tanoim. We're quoting Eliyahu HaNavi. The Levi Adinim said, Rav Tzvi Yehuda, Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cook used to wear when he explained the idea of the sanctity of the Jewish people. He brought the words of the Rav Eliyahu. Omali, he said to me, Eliyahu said, Rebbe, Shnei Dvarim Yesh Ba'olam, there are two things in the world, Vani Ohavam, Bilevavi Avo Gemura, there are two things in the world that I love in my heart with an absolute perfect love. Ve'eluhen, and these are the two things that I love, Torah and Israel. Avol eini yodea eiza mehem kodem. Which one is more significant? Which one comes first? Is it Torah or is it Yisrael? Amarti lo. So I said to him, and he says, I said to him, Beni, my son, Darkon shall b'nei ha'adam. The way of human beings is omrim our Torah kadma. People say Torah comes first. Torah is the ultimate good above everything. Shenema, because there's a pasuk in Mishlei that says Hashem konani reishit darko. Torah says about itself that God acquired me at the very beginning of his way on this world. Aval ani omer. This is Eli Yom speaking. You know what I say? Yisrael kadmo. Israel come before Torah. Shenema, because it says Kodesh Yisrael LaHashem. Pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Holy Israel is to God. Reshit Tuato. They are the first of what he created. By the way, if any of you remember, just mentioned it briefly, one of the finest shiurim I've said in my career up until now. You know, was a description of the two Eliyahu HaNavis. The Eliyahu HaNavi of Tanakh, of Sefer Melachim, is an angry man. Angry! He makes his way, he runs away from the Jewish people, he comes out into the desert, and God confronts him and he asks him, what are you doing here, Eliyahu? Malcha po, Eliyahu, what are you doing here? And he responds by saying, your people have broken your covenant. They don't fulfill your mitzvahs. They have rejected you. So then, God makes a sound and light show for him. A terrible wind. Lo baruach Hashem. God is not in that terrible wind. There's a storm. God is not there. There's an upheaval, an earthquake. God is not there. And then this call, the mama, a silent silence. The voices, the sounds of silence. That's where God is. And God asks him now a second time, Malcha po Eliyahu, what are you doing here? And Eliyahu responds the second time around precisely the way he responded the first time. Your people have broken your covenant. Your people have rejected you. They have rejected your commandments. And according to the Medrash, God says to him, they broke my covenant? I don't think about it. Maybe your covenant, not my covenant. They're not performing my mitzvahs? Maybe your mitzvahs, not my mitzvahs. And it's right after that conversation, and Rashi explains it clearly. God tells Eliyahu, go off to Damascus. And he gives him a number of things to do over there. And Rashi says, if God turns to him and tells him, I can't take you and your condemnation of the Jewish people. I can't take it. I don't need somebody that is just telling me all sorts of terrible things about the Jewish people. So the crux of the shiur some years ago was, but wait a minute, Eliyahu HaNavi is the one who becomes the most beloved of all personalities in Jewish history. Eliyahu never dies. Eliyahu comes to every bris. Eliyahu comes into the house on the night of Pesach. Eliyahu is going to be the one who's going to tell us about the coming of the Mashiach. This Eliyahu appears in Shas and in Jewish history. Who knows how many times Eliyahu appears? What happened? What do we say over there? Harachamon invention. Harachamon Mishlachlonu is Eliyahu HaNavi. So I explained then that what God did with Elio, he wanted to show what the Jewish people are. Elio, you're not going to die. You're going to watch them. You're going to come up every day to heaven, or according to a certain medrash, it's Matzah Shabbos. He comes up and the Chavashim says, they've broken my covenant. How many bris were you out this week? Let's hear it. Go ahead. Tell me. With this bris, with that bris, aren't they broken the covenant? No. Elio comes to every bris. There's a kisei shel Elio with you. Elio is transformed through history. He's transformed into the great lover of the Jewish people. You know why? Because he sees with his own eyes this people whom he accused of breaking God's covenant are the ones through thick and thin, through going through the worst horrors in history, and they remain. Boy, do they remain. God, do they remain. Popes come in, come to visit their gods there. Here the Medrash Rabbah tells, has Eliyahu saying, there are two things in the world, Torah and the Jewish people. Which does he love more? You know who he loves more? The Jewish people. There's an innate sanctity concept. You have to watch how you talk about them. You have to be very careful. Let's take a look at number five. The story of the Shunammit, by the way, I just wrote in a letter. It's turning out to be much more than a letter. That most probably by the time I finish it, sometime next week, it will be posted on the internet, and there are going to be computers exploding all over the world. They won't be able to take this kind of stuff. Because I have somebody to a recent posting of mine about 5-6 weeks ago, somebody came back at me and gave me the real religious orthodox position on all sorts of things like Jewish people and the state of Israel. You know what I'm saying? So we're giving him back the works. And part of the works that he's getting is behave yourself. You watch how you speak about the Jewish people. There are enough anti-Semites in this world. We don't need Jews speaking ill of the Jewish people. Behave yourself, shaykat. Boy, there'll be a lot of fun around here. I think my wife and I, were going to go off someplace to Norway or Sweden to hide for a few days. So here it is, number five. Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cook. I hope I'll be able to make it. I'm invited tonight to the opening celebration of Yom Yerushalayim, Bo Aleinu Letova, at the Yeshivat Merkaz Harav. That's where it all begins. Why all of Klal Yisrael doesn't celebrate this glorious day, I can't for the life of me understand. You'll never explain it to me. First of all, we thought that this was going to be the end of Medinas Yisrael. Surround them on all sides. We saw those on TV, we saw the crowds in Cairo screaming, Yitbachar Yahud! We're going to destroy the Jewish people. Syria, Damascus. Och and vain. What Egypt and Syria are now. They're getting their very just desserts. Okay? Anyway, we remember what? When all airlines stopped flying to Israel except El Al. When the Straits of Tehran were cut off. Who doesn't remember May of 1967? You know, I spoke last night to young people, you know, in their late teens and early 20s, to try to describe to them what May of 1967 was. We were frightened. We were terrified. We didn't know what was going to happen. All the forces massed against little Klal Yisrael. Little did we know what the Rebbeinu Shalom had in mind for us. And the first 2 days of the war, well, by the way, it was in 67 precisely as it is this year. It started on a Monday morning. Monday morning was the 26th of Sivan. It was Tuesday night and early Wednesday morning, the 28th of Iyar, that Israeli paratroopers broke into the old city and the conquest of Yerushalayim began. Shavu Shamayim, what a glorious, glorious day that was. And we were only then beginning to find out that the Haifa is not burning. Tel Aviv is not burning. But Egypt and Syria are in threat. But Ramesh in threat. It was an awesome victory. I don't know, what does God have to do for us before we can say a hallel to him? Unbelievable. How did I get into this? It doesn't make any difference. Huh? Oh, I mentioned that because I'm going to learn, I thought I was going to learn a piece by Rutsiyu. You're very good. You pick up, I said, that's very good. I hope I'll be able to make it tonight to America's Rabbi, because remember the center is having a tefillah at the Great Synagogue tonight. So, you know, we try to dance at many chasanas, but it gets a little difficult as you grow up, you understand. You have to make decisions finally. I'm going here or I'm going there. We'll make the decision later. And you know, we can really, I can learn with your FCU, we're not going to. Just what's on the line, that's all we need. And this really all flows from everything that we can say last week and this week. Lo mishum she'am Yisrael kibbles ha-Torah u'shoneh mikol ha'amim. It's not because the Jewish people receive Torah that they are different than all other nations. El lehepach. It's precisely the opposite. Mishum she'hu shoneh b'mahato mikol ha'amim. Because the Jewish people are different in their very essence than all the nations. That's why God gave them Torah. There is that innate sanctity that the Jewish people have. Reshit Kol, what comes first is Am Yisrael, who Am Minyuchot, a very special people. Am Segula Elokit, a divine, a nation that is a treasure of his. Ba'af Yo Halumi, in his national character. Ubiklal Zeh, because of that, who Kibelet HaTorah, he received the Torah. That means that it's a whole different story. If this is the picture, and I believe that when I stand up, that is the picture, then obviously we understand that you have to respect and love every Jew. But if a Jew is a Jew only by virtue of Torah, then the Jew doesn't learn Torah, so you know, you know. A Tel Aviv Tzvoni? Nothing with nothing. But that's not true. We have B'nai Avraham Yitzhak, and we therefore prefer, we have great sanctity, and therefore in moment of crisis, God is there to take care of us. For 66 years, he's been doing a great job. I've told you, I'm waiting to see what's going to happen to another few of the Sunni Yisrael around in the world. Who would have believed a few years ago that Egypt and Syria, the mighty powers standing against us, would be imploding from within, collapsing. Never believe it. Never believe it. They're finished. They're finished. Iraq, say long, long finished. Lebanon was finished for 40 years, 50 years. Iran. That's what we have to watch. Yes, Hashem, the Rebbeinu Shem is going to take care of all of us in Israel. Chag Sameach on Yom Yerushalayim. Chag Sameach on Shavuos. We meet again after Shavuos. If even Rabbi Adler is not coming next Tuesday, then I'm not coming. Tell it all. Thank you.